Hi everyone, this is Grace, the artist behind Photography Smash with Poetry on Facebook, and you're listening to Petapixel Photography Podcast with the one and only Sharky James. Enjoy!
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 97. Sam Yang goes even wider. In this episode, Sam Yang is at it again with another wide-angle lens. How Getty gets Olympic images out in under 2 minutes. Kid Century officially gets the axe. Something you need to know if you use Zenfolio. How to darken your backgrounds with a forgotten method. And I need your help for episode 100. All that and more in episode 97 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Grace, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, sister. Mary Grace de la Peña is a self-taught fine art photographer based in Denmark who describes her style as emotional and atmospheric. According to her Facebook page, quote, "She loves making dreamy images that appear to resemble paintings and spice it up with alternative fashion clothing and accessories," end quote. Her photos have graced the cover of fashion magazines, no pun intended, and when you see her photos, you'll understand why. She possesses what so many aspire to have, and that's the vision to take conceptual shoots to the next level and nail it. How many of us have had an idea for something and it didn't quite turn out as planned? That goes for cooking and photography, right? She has a rather large Facebook group called Photography Smashed with Poetry that I recommend you guys all checking out. And you can also follow her on Instagram at NINI29DK. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 97 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you hitting that subscribe button and making sure you get every episode, as well as telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. Sam Yang is on fire lately, I tell you. Last week, I told you about their incredibly fast 35mm f1.2 lens from mirrorless APS-C cameras. Well, now the company is going even wider, albeit slower, with their Sam Yang 20mm f1.8 EDAS UMC. Oh, and this one is for full-frame mirrorless and DSLRs. That's nice. The company is promoting this by saying, quote, "Explore your wideness," end quote. Now, a lot of people are exploring their wideness, of course, but that involves going to Taco Bell, Burger King, etc. So if this resonates with you, you'll be interested to know that this lens features 13 elements and 12 groups, and that two of those are a spherical and three are extra low dispersion elements. This is a manual focus only lens which promises, quote, "to minimize aberration and unnecessary light dispersion, delivering high resolution from the center to the corners of the image," end quote. This 20mm f1.8 features a circular 7-blade aperture, and you can focus as closely as 0.2 meters or approximately 8 inches. It'll be available in Canon EOS and Nikon mounts, of course, as well as Pentax K, Sony Alpha, Canon M, Fujifilm X, Samsung NX, Sony E, FT, and MFT mounts. So, basically, much of what's available out there, in other words. According to the company, quote, "Sam Yang 20mm f1.8 EDAS UMC is a wide-angle manual focus lens for DSLR cameras with full-frame sensor size. The flow of light is devised based on the uniqueness of the distance from the glass to sensor in mirrorless cameras to create optimal performance," end quote. Their statement was a little weird there, but you get what they're saying. They're talking about how it's available for DSLR cameras and why it's so awesome, as well as mirrorless cameras. This lens, of course, would be excellent in astrophotography where autofocus isn't needed. You know, you generally want a wide-angle lens and a fast aperture for that kind of work. So if you're into shooting the heavens, this might be on your gear list. It'll be available next month in September 2016 for 500 euros, currently about $550 US. And there's also a cine lens version available as well for budding filmmakers. Next. As you probably know, a very large number of photographers use Zenfolio to host their photography portfolios. For a long time now, it's been a great service and one photographers have counted on in running their business. And so if you use the service, it's important to be aware that the company's Easy Photo Album Design Service, which launched this past May 2016, makes it quite easy for photographers to sell albums, but it's set on by default, something that photographers may want to flip the switch in the other direction on. Now, this was first brought to the internets, that's right, the internets, by Reddit user F22, who shared what he called a, quote, friendly warning, end quote. F22, a longtime Zenfolio customer, sells custom albums to his clients and was surprised to discover that the new album creation feature actually diverted a customer away from the album creation he offered and to Zenfolio's. Yeah, you can see how that might be a little bit of a problem there. On Reddit, he wrote, quote, I got an email today that a client of mine ordered an album. I then went to my orders page and saw that the client spent nearly $1,000 on an album that was not from my price list, and that I made only a small percentage of that while Zenfolio pocketed the rest, end quote. So what the photographer says is that the new Make an Album button was placed on his Zenfolio portfolio website. If a client clicked that button, they were able to buy an album of his photos directly from Zenfolio. F22 also said, quote, in short, Zenfolio is competing with their own customers for album sales. It was done in the sneakiest way possible as well, end quote. When he contacted Zenfolio, customer service told him this, quote, please note this was in no way meant to take any business away from you and do agree that it should have, by default, been opt-out. However, for business reasons, our CEO chose to have this as an opt-in, end quote. Needless to say, those on Reddit had a lot to say about this, with many severely criticizing the company's decision to turn this on by default rather than give photographers the choice. In a July 29, 2016 exchange on Twitter, Zenfolio responded to user Mike Rica saying, quote, you can disable the service at any time. You make $100 per album bought with no effort on your part, end quote. Rica responded with, quote, while you apparently make $900, it shouldn't be enabled by default. That's shady as hell, no matter how you try to spin it, end quote. Now, the Petapixel mothership reached out to Zenfolio, and they told us, quote, Zenfolio is 100% committed to meeting the needs of a wide range of photographers, and our goal is to offer powerful solutions for every photographer, regardless of the size of their business. To that end, Zenfolio provides both full-service and self-service photo albums, end quote. They say they did their best to let customers know of the new default feature by talking about it at trade shows, in emails, blog posts, and via messages as its release approached, but some missed that. Zenfolio goes on to say, quote, we apologize to any of our customers that may have missed this communication. We have heard from a couple of dissatisfied users and are always open to their feedback. However, we are pleased to say that since the implementation of the new album service, hundreds of albums have been ordered to the benefit and profit of photographers that were previously not selling any product. We plan on continuing to innovate and optimize Zenfolio for the success of all our users, end quote. Now, if you're a Zenfolio user and you wish to disable this feature, hit the show notes for episode 97 at petapixel.com/podcast, where we'll have the link for you. Next. In episode 96, I told you about Kit Sentry from F-Stop Gear, a security-centric bag system which has been vapor, and now we have a little bit more information about it. We have confirmation by the company that the Kit Sentry will never be a thing now. Sadly, that project is now dead. Not only that, backers will not receive reimbursement of the funds spent to back this project. Remember, Kickstarter, not a store. As you may recall, F-Stop Gear hadn't said anything about the progress of Kit Sentry in a while, and the Resource Magazine report, along with backers who contacted the Petapixel mothership, detailed this in full. So now, in light of all this public attention, they've finally seen it fit to comment on this project, which was supposed to ship nearly a year ago now. In the sizable statement to Kit Sentry Kickstarter backers, it says in part, quote, over the last year and a half, we have had multiple starts and stops and run into many roadblocks in trying to bring the Kit Sentry project to life. In hindsight, our original target was much too low to get a project of this nature off the ground effectively, end quote. What apparently happened is that F-Stop Gear contracted with the company to design as well as produce KitCentury, but the company didn't honor the cost estimates to them. Also, F-Stop Gear found out that multiple patents owned by others presented a problem, and as a result, unexpected legal fees ran up their costs. Of this, Mike at F-Stop Gear says, quote, "While we may have been able to overcome one of the obstacles, the two combined have proven to be too much at this time. Even after the additional investment of time and money, it has become obvious that KitCentury is not economically viable." End quote. Now, the final KitCentury update doesn't mention anything about backers getting their money back, but instead says, quote, "We are currently in the process of the final financial consolidation, and we will, as required by Kickstarter, share a top-line summary with contributors that request the information. While we can't bring you KitCentury, we would like to offer you a goodwill credit toward any F-Stop product equal to the amount pledged on Kickstarter." End quote. So you're not going to see a penny back from this, but you're invited to buy F-Stop gear with a credit for what you've pledged. You know, I'm giving them crap, but at least that's better than nothing. A lot of other companies would have been like, well, sorry, it's been real. See ya. However, many have said that it's often difficult to find F-Stop gear bags in stock, so a credit for something that you might not be able to purchase is what it is. Many people have said online that they've had to wait weeks or even months to get their bag. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. You know, KitCentury is now history. It looked like a really cool product, but we're not going to see it. And it's going to be interesting also to see how F-Stop Gear operates going forward. A lot of people are keeping a much closer eye on this company now. You know, these frigid waters often have icebergs in them. Next. All right, we don't usually do tips and tricks per se here on the show because, frankly, there are better venues for such things like blogs, videos on YouTube, etc. But this is one that is worthy, I think, and here's why. It reminds me of something I learned more than 25 years ago, believe it or not, in a VHS video on lighting. Can you imagine that? Ordering a video from a catalog or whatever, this was pre-internet, and waiting 3 to 4 weeks for it to arrive. Today, you just hit YouTube and you call it good. And I realize this is sounding like, hey kids, you know, get off my lawn. But that's how things were done back then. Anyhow, in the video, I remember the fashion photographer whose face I can picture, but sadly not his name, showing one of the preferred methods for knocking down the exposure of the background so easily. And that was with a scrim. For those that don't know, a scrim is basically a dark netting that with a wide aperture such as f2.8, 1.8, etc., disappears and provides you with the effect of a darkened background. It is such a brilliant, elegant solution for getting rid of that blown out background that you don't always want to have in your photographs. But the reason that you don't see it used much is because it is a pain in the butt to utilize. Now, this isn't something that a single person is going to want to deal with. Trust me on this. Ideally, you're going to need an assistant or two because you're going to need to set up a frame to stretch the scrim across and either have a couple of people holding it in place behind your model or set up a cage or some other way to make sure that it stays in place behind them. So yeah, you can see why most people have not heard of this and you rarely see it in use. But it's a beautiful solution to knocking down the brightness of the background, and I think it's one that should be considered. You know, otherwise, you could stop down your lens, use a neutral density filter, etc., which not only darkens your background, but your subject, and then you have to light your subject. So there are ways to handle this without using a scrim, of course, but it involves lighting, and not everyone wants to do that. Being able to just knock down the background and call it good would be so handy, of course. Oh yeah, assistants. Forgot about those. As with many things in photography, of course, money is going to help here. You know, investing in a scrim is not super cheap. They're not crazy expensive, but it's going to cost you a little bit. And a system to support it, whether it's light stands and a bunch of heavy bags or an entire cage to set up, is not going to be really cheap. You can get away without using assistants, but on a windy day, not so much. That's when you're going to need a whole lot of more apparatus to make sure things stay in place. For most of us, we're going to, of course, stop down our lens, then bust out a small flash or two or some large strobes. But of course, with great power comes, yes, greater responsibility, you Spider-Man nerds. But what I was going to say is the ability to turn day into night and light your subject as you wish. Now, I'd love to make use of a scrim with an entire cube set up. You know, you can place white diffusion cloth on the top and the sides and produce a really nice soft lighting situation. Or you can place dark cloth on one side and do what lighting master Dean Collins loved to do, and that's subtractive lighting. You know, it's a lot like having a studio in a box, basically. But it's an investment, and yes, it's a real pain for one person to set up and deal with, and that's why you don't see it so much. That all said, if you've never seen it used before, hit the show notes for episode 97 at petapixel.com/podcast and check out a video featuring photographer Joel Grimes using it. He does a great job of explaining why it's so awesome. You know, as photographers, even if we don't employ these techniques and gear, knowing about them is extremely valuable, I think. The more we know as photographers, the better we can troubleshoot problems. And hey, photography is constant troubleshooting, right? We grow by learning new things, and this thing is one of them. Next. As you might imagine, a staggering number of photos are being shot at the Olympic Games in Rio. And since we've become an impatient society, which absolutely must have something right now, Getty Images, yes, the same Getty Images that we've reported on of late for allegedly jacking the images of others, is pushing frames like there's no tomorrow at these Olympic Games. Amazingly, Getty's team of photographers and photo editors are able to shoot, cull, and share Olympic photos within 120 seconds. That is crazy talk right there. That's 2 minutes from pressing the button to them being online. Amazing. A process that Pop Photo documents starts 7 years before the games even begin. In roughly 18 days at the Olympic Games, an unbelievable 1.5 million photos will be captured by their team, but just 85,000 will be selected, edited, and distributed. That is a crazy number of photographs. Getty's photographers connect their DSLRs to a special data network via Ethernet cables. You know, these are the flagship bodies like the Canon 1DX Mark II, the Nikon D5, etc., of course. And using this system, 10 photos per second are pushed to photo editors, all working from a central location. Remember, these bodies tear through frames at blazing speed. I mean, the D5 alone will do 12 frames per second. But these photographers aren't doing the spray and pray technique, of course. These are professionals. They're using those frames wisely. But nonetheless, when those images flood into the processing center, those photo editors there have their hands full, no doubt. And they're not using Lightroom to deal with those images, mind you. Okay, you knew I was going to mention that at some point. Lightroom, not the go-to program when time is of the essence. Now, it would have been home at the Olympics 20 years ago when things were way slowed down, but not now. Not in 2016. Those images have just 2 minutes to get out the door. Of this system, Getty Images VP Ken Maynardis tells Pop Photo, quote, "If the stars are aligned, that process from the moment the shutter is pressed through the image selection and Photoshop correction to the moment the data is applied and sent across our internal network to our customers happens in around 120 seconds. Watching these guys work is like watching a musical orchestra. It's incredible how slick and efficient they are, looking at enormous amounts of content." End quote. Guys? Maybe they are all guys. I don't know. Getty, I tell ya. Next. As you know, you're listening to episode 97 right now, and we're rapidly approaching our 100th episode. Let's see. If I do the math now, that's okay. Let's carry the 5, divide by my IQ, and we get 3 episodes. We're just 3 episodes away from being in triple digits. That's crazy. You know, I've thought for weeks now what, if anything, I should do for the milestone that is our 100th episode of this show. And I've come to the conclusion that it'll mostly be unchanged. Like many of you, I hate it when people screw with my favorite shows. You faithfully listen, expecting to hear the show that caused you to hit the subscribe button in the first place. And instead, you get a best of, or a self-congratulatory episode, or something like that, when you just wanted to hear the photography news of the past few days, right? This is all to say that episode 100 will be like the 99 that preceded it, with the exception of the after show that'll be at the end of that episode. That way, if you'd like to do so, you can listen to episode 100 and you can punch out after my daughter's part and the bloopers, or you can stick around to hear the rest. It's your choice. I respect my audience, and choices are always a good thing, as I say. To that end, if there's anything you've always wanted to know about me and the show specifically, drop me an email at lensshark@gmail.com with the number 100 in the subject line so I know it's for that episode, or leave me a voicemail via our voicemail widget at petapixel.com/podcast. So hit me up with your fairly brief question. We don't want a ginormously long episode, of course. And I'll answer a bunch of them at the end of episode 100. And if we have a lot, you know, I might drill that out in episode 101, 102, 103, etc. We'll see. If you could, though, please get me those by Wednesday, August 17th, 2016, so I can get those all together in time for episode 100. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 97 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm LensShark. That's LensShark. And don't forget, as I said earlier, I need your questions about the show for our 100th episode. So don't forget about that. Get those into me before Wednesday, August 17th, 2016. And I'd love you guys forever. I already do, of course, but you know what I'm saying. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 98. Well, it's f8 2/50 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.
However, many have said that it's often difficult to get f-stop beer. F-stop beer would be kind of cool if you drink.